Today, from taco to tuna, the market's adventures in Trumpland. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, one that is post covering finance and property news. This is our weekly market update, where we start in the US, cross to Europe and Asia, and end in Australia, covering commodities and crypto along the way. Major sell-offs across US equities and bonds, and a slide in the greenback this week sparked fears of a sell America trade. We've had Tina, there is no alternative, then taco, Trump always chickens out, but now this week, tuna, Trump usually negates announcements. As Trump climbed down on tariff threats over Greenland, Macquarie Strategy's Victor Slitz, comparison with the world of professional wrestling, lots of anger, most of it performative, does seem apt. There are, it seems, potentially better valuations, better recovery in earnings, and a better change in the economic outlook for countries beyond the US, even as US domestic policy is also driving a sell America trade. As an example, Schickling Pension Funds, Europe's biggest pension fund, spent most of last year dramatically scaling back its exposure to the US government bond market, reducing its holdings of US treasuries by about 10 billion euros to 19 billion euros in the 6 months through to September. The figures, which are based on the 538 billion euro fund's latest disclosures and numbers reported by Dutch public broadcaster NOS. And I also note the share of world reserves holding gold continues to spike higher, whilst those linked to the US dollar continues to fall. Gold had its biggest weekly advance since 2020, flirting with that magical $5,000 level. Silver's latest surge was up to make it nearly 40% this year to over 100 US. And oil broke through $66 a barrel late in New York, as traders factored in the possibility of American military action in Iran after President Donald Trump said an armada was headed to the Middle East, and a massive winter storm was also poised to hammer the US over the weekend. The annual World Economic Forum Talkfest in Davos sparked real reflection across global markets, and the impressive speech by Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney, also, by the way, a former Bank of England governor, in which he declared a rupture, not a transition, of the rules-based order that has dominated since the end of World War II, reverberated for good reason. In the few short weeks since the start of the year, the key tenets of Trump's New World Order, which Rabobank strategist Michael Every describes as an attempt to shift the US system from consumption and financialization to capital investment and military production, has been on display. You need to see Trump's obsession with Greenland in this light. For all the volatility, actually, the MSCI Global Index landed flat for the week, although the stock 600 in Europe was 1% lower, and the ASX in Australia fell 0.5% across the week, while in New York, the S&P 500 edged higher just a little to 6,915, reversing earlier modest losses after the US benchmark index had opened higher following the University of Michigan report that US consumer sentiment reached a five-year high this month. But that said, the overall consumer sentiment index does remain low by historical levels. The Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 0.58% to 49,098, while the Nasdaq Composite gained 0.28% to 23,501. NVIDIA rose 1.5% after Chinese officials said Alibaba, Tencent, and ByteDance can prepare orders for NVIDIA's H200 AI chips. But Intel tumbled 70% on their tepid outlook after the company forecast quarterly revenue and profit below market estimates, saying it struggled to satisfy demand for its server chips used in AI data centers. With many technology and semiconductor companies still trading at sky-high valuations, 2026 is viewed by many as the year where the huge excitement for the AI trend and the huge amounts of capital expenditure to attain it needs to start showing up as corporate revenue. And Microsoft led the Magnificent Seven with a 3.3% rise. The dollar index, measuring the greenback against a basket of currencies, including the yen and the euro, fell 0.84% to 97.46. The euro was up 0.61% to 1.1829, while sterling strengthened just over a percent to 1.3646. The Bank of Japan left interest rates unchanged, as expected, with the central bank hiking its outlook for economic growth and inflation on expectations of more fiscal support from the government. As a result, the yen abruptly staged its biggest one-day surge in nearly 6 months in New York on speculation that Japanese authorities could be preparing to mount an unusual market intervention to halt the currency's slide. The yen rallied 1.6% against the greenback. Earlier, the Bank of Japan had signaled readiness to continue raising still low borrowing costs in a politically charged atmosphere ahead of a snap election next month. Against the Japanese yen, the dollar weakened 1.66% to 155.71, but I still think the yen story is indeed one to watch. Though the president's attempt to gain control of the US Federal Reserve might have central bankers, bond investors, and economists worried, in Trump world, a subservient Fed and low interest rates are vital to the administration's desire to direct the way capital is allocated across the economy. And while Carney might rightly question the economic logic of tariffs, these are also a key part of Trump's neo-mercantile agenda. They are a way of signaling who is in and who is out of the bloc of countries that America is trying to form. Trump wants heavy involvement of the state in supposedly free markets, which we've seen plenty of examples in recent weeks, from bans on defense companies paying dividends until they lift production, to the attempt to impose controls on the price of everything from energy to medicine. Oh, and the bizarre Board of Peace, the US president formalized this week in Davos, is a motley group of mostly semi-authoritarian states, at least so far, as the majority of those European countries that were offered have declined to be involved in Trump's Board of Peace. This was, of course, originally designed to oversee the demilitarization and rebuilding of Gaza amid concerns over its composition and whether it could end up rivaling the United Nations. And Ukraine President Volodymyr Zelensky criticized European leaders' response to geopolitical threats in his speech at the World Economic Forum in Davos as well. He accused Europe of being lost while trying to convince Trump to change and support it rather than uniting to defend itself. For markets, economists, many politicians, none of this looks rational or logical in the context of the rules-based order that we've operated in the past. But Carney's point is that there's little use in hoping the old world is coming back. Rightly or wrongly, Trump has made it very clear he's America first, not markets first. Antipodes portfolio manager Jacob Mitchell said that while markets have been conditioned to assume geopolitical threats will ultimately be descaled, the bigger risks emerging out of the US were regulatory uncertainty and the limits of fiscal activism. For now, much of the market has backed in the tuna trade, but the $100 million US dollar sell-off in government bonds by the Danish retirement savings giant is, I think, symbolic. In the energy markets, oil prices settled up almost 3% after rising to their highest in more than a week, after Trump ramped up pressure on Iran through sanctions on vessels that transport its oil and the announcement that the Narmada was heading towards the Middle Eastern nation. The pressure served as warnings to Tehran against killing protesters or restarting its nuclear program. US crude settled up 2.88%, $61.07 a barrel, while Brent settled at $60.29 per barrel, up 2.84% on the day. Fed fund futures are pricing in an implied 97% probability that the US Federal Reserve will hold rates steady next week when they meet. And investors are also watching the US brokered trilateral talks over the Russia-Ukraine war. Negotiators met in Abu Dhabi on Friday to tackle the vital issue of territory, but with no sign of compromise. But meanwhile, Russian airstrikes have plunged Ukraine into its worst energy crisis of the four-year war. In treasuries, prices rose as investors waited for the Fed post-meeting update due on Wednesday. The yield on benchmark US 10-year notes fell to 4.228% from 4.251% late on Thursday, while the 30-year bond fell to 4.8305%. The 2-year note, which moves in step with interest rate expectations for the Federal Reserve, fell to 3.596% from 3.614%. But all of this is still pointing to higher long-term rates ahead. And by the way, Trump confirmed on Thursday that he had concluded his search for the next Federal Reserve chair after interviewing a final shortlist of candidates. So we'll see about that. Elsewhere, UBS has identified government intervention as a near-term risk, particularly around affordability. A Politico poll in late 2025 found 56% of Americans consider high living costs a top issue. However, with 62% of American households owning stocks, according to a 2025 Gallup poll, the brokerage believes the administration will avoid broad market negative policies. In Europe, European stocks mostly slipped lower on Friday, with geopolitical pressures to the fore as a tense week drew to its close. The DAX index in Germany closed flat, while the CAC 40 in France slipped 0.1%, and the FTSE in London also fell 0.1%. European equity markets rebounded on Thursday after US President Donald Trump rode back on his threat of trade tariffs to gain ownership of Greenland, but the three main indices still closed lower across the week as the overall political climate does remain tense. UK retail sales rose unexpectedly by 0.4% in December from November as consumers returned. And in the European corporate sector, Ericsson announced plans for a hefty share buyback and an increase in its dividend after net cash surged as the Swedish telecoms equipment maker's margin improvements offset a flat mobile network market. British defence contractor Babcock International said it would meet its full-year margin targets of 8% after strong organic revenue growth continued through the third quarter. In Asia, most Asian markets ended the week lower after Trump's threats over Greenland sparked deep declines at the beginning of the week. Concerns over weakened fiscal health in the developed world also weighed. The Bank of Japan's hold decision came just hours after data showed that headline Japanese CPI inflation slipped to a near four-year low in December, although underlying inflation remained above the Bank of Japan's 2% annual target. The central bank says in the statement that it expects inflation to moderate in the first half of 2026, but then picking up steadily in the remainder of the year. And the bank also forecasts tightness in the labour market as the Japanese economy picks up pace. Japanese stocks were down for the week after the Bank of Japan moved, with the Nikkei 225 index trading up 0.29% on Friday and the broader TOPIX up 0.37%. Korean stocks led gains in Asia, with the Kospi up for a third day by 1.1%, crossing the 5,000 mark for the first time on Thursday. That's a milestone the president there had promised to reach through market reforms and tax measures to close the so-called Korea discount. The index was the best performer in Asia this week with a 2.5% gain. The gains for the tech-heavy index were anchored by the chip maker Samsung Electronics. In China, the People's Bank of China left its benchmark loan prime rate unchanged, expected on Tuesday, even as the country grapples with cooling growth and a prolonged debt crisis in its real estate sector. The PBOC left its one-year LPR at 3% and its five-year LPR at 3.5%. The move is the eighth consecutive month of no changes to the LPR, with the rates remaining at their lowest levels in recorded data. The LPR is based on recommendations from 18 designated commercial banks and serves as a benchmark for lending rates in China. The five-year rate is used as a benchmark for mortgage rates. Tuesday's hold comes just a day after gross domestic product data showed that China's economy grew in line with Beijing's 5% target in 2025, with exports being its biggest boost. But analysts warned that the boost from exports was likely to taper off in 2026, and that other major drivers, chiefly business spending and consumer sentiment, remained largely weak. The 5% GDP outturn was in line with expectations, and international trade boomed despite falls in exports to the US. The Shanghai Composite was up 0.33% on Friday, but the blue chip Shanghai Shenzhen CSI 300 fell 0.45%. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong rose 0.45%. India's Nifty 50 slid again, down another 0.95% on Friday, as a US-India trade deal remains elusive, keeping investors cautious. A swathe of weak corporate earnings from major Indian firms also weighed on local stocks this week. Australian shares were mixed on Friday, as strong gains for miners lifted by the rising gold price were offset by falls elsewhere amid investor caution ahead of a likely interest rate rise next month. The ASX 200 was up just a little at 8,860, with three of the 11 sectors in positive territory. The benchmark slipped 0.5% for the week, which was marked by heightened geopolitical tension and a stronger than expected jobs report. That report pushed money markets to price a 61% chance of a Reserve Bank rate hike, sending the Aussie dollar to a fresh 16-month high of 68.95 cents against the US dollar and 50.53 UK pence. Technology led the gains, with Life360 up 27.4% to $3.70 after raising its full-year guidance. The family tracking app, nearing 100 million monthly active users, now expects revenue of $486 million. NextDC rose 2.7% to $13.32 and is zero by 3.5% to $101.22. Gold continued to rise, and that boosted investor appetite for the precious metal. Northern Star jumped 5.4% to $27.60. Regis Resources up 10.2% to $8.35. And Greatland Resources up 7.6% to $13.94. After strong gains by the major banks on Thursday, the sector underpinned losses, as Commonwealth Bank fell 0.8% to $149.48. ANZ was down 0.5% to $36.21. Westpac was down 0.4% to $38.74. National Australia Bank by 0.2% to $42.35. Alcoa slid 0.8% to $90.85 as the company flagged rising production this year for both the alumina and aluminium businesses after net income for 25 surged. And Capstone Copper lost 3.4% to $14.95 as the miner said its Mantoverde mine has been disrupted by striking workers interfering with a desalination plant supplying water to the site in Chile, forcing a temporary halt to sulfide production. And Appirinex rallied 7.5% to $8.37 to push total gains in the past five sessions of 15% after the company received an order from American Rheinmetall to produce lightweight titanium components for US Army heavy ground combat vehicles. Domino's Pizza Enterprise firmed 0.9% to $24.35 as fresh ASIC data showed that it has become the most shorted stock on the index, with 17.3% of all shares reported to be in a short position. The Aussie dollar stormed to its highest level in 16 months after a stunning jobs report blew past market estimates, prompting traders to aggressively dial up their bets for an interest rate hike next month. The unemployment rate dropped to 4.1% in December, much lower than most analysts expected. With the market now pricing in two rate increases from the RBA in 2026, the prospect of higher rates makes Australian government bonds even more appealing compared to international peers, which in turn pushes up the currency. Economists were also quick to react to the data, with UBS, Bank of America and HSBC the latest to tip a February rate hike to 3.05%. Thursday's robust jobs report also rippled through the bond market, with the three-year government bond yield, which tracks interest rate expectations, jumping to 4.273%. That's the highest level in over 2 years. The RBA's final decision will still hinge on the December quarter inflation report due next week. Bitcoin, meanwhile, remained on the back foot on Friday, capping off a week of weakness as cooling tensions over the US and Greenland and a major buy-buy strategy did little to shore up appetite for cryptocurrencies. The world's largest crypto was last at 89,659. While Bitcoin saw some gains after Trump softened his rhetoric over Greenland earlier in the week, the world's largest crypto largely reversed course and came back in sight of one-month lows. The crypto was headed for a 5% decline across the week, taking little support from top corporate holder Strategy, disclosing a $2.1 billion Bitcoin buy. Strategy has also emerged as a source of concern for Bitcoin in recent months as markets questioned the long-term viability of its Bitcoin treasury strategy, especially amid persistent underperformance in Bitcoin's price. Retail appetite for Bitcoin does remain largely weak, especially as outperformance in technology stocks on hype over AI commanded the bulk of capital inflows. That said, UBS Group is considering offering cryptocurrency trading to a portion of its private banking clients, signaling a possible broadening of its approach to digital assets as major global banks step up their crypto efforts. The Swiss lender has been evaluating potential partners to support her crypto trading service, the report said, and the discussions have been underway for several months. The bank has not made a final decision on when the service could be launched or how widely it will be offered within its private banking division. Now ahead, the ASX will be closed on Monday for Australia Day. Trading will resume on Tuesday. Among the local companies set to release quarterly reports next week are Woodside Energy, Origin Energy, and ResMed. Australia's key release next week, though, is on Wednesday. That's the fourth quarter CPI. Overseas, the focus will be on the Federal Reserve policy meeting, plus the US corporate reporting season, which gathers pace, with investors hyper-focused on Apple, Microsoft, Tesla, Meta, and ExxonMobil in particular. And in the note, FactSet said overall 13% of the companies in the S&P 500 have reported actual results for the fourth quarter to date. Of those companies, 75% have reported actual earnings per share above estimates, which is actually below the five-year average of 78% and below the 10-year average of 76%. But for me, the key question is, will traders still be trying to interpret the latest eruptions in Trump land, or will they look past the tuna and hope for the best? Well, it seems to me precious metals are saying all is not well. If this trend continues, we'll better watch out. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.